listening to Making a Difference About Domestic Violence and Abuse with host Shireen Rice on the CWR Talk Network.
Good evening. This is Shireen Rice with Making a Difference About Domestic Violence. My goal for this show is to educate and help in a healing journey for those that are suffering from domestic abuse. If you'd like to call in, we are live tonight. So my number is 917-889-8078. If you're listening tonight and would like to get in touch with me, you can also email me at shareencwr@gmail.com. Let me spell that out for you. shareencwr@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I'm going to do a shout out tonight to Alex. She's my hairdresser and a previous student and one of my kids forever. I love you and I appreciate all the love and support that you've given me throughout all this that I've been going through. You are amazing, young woman. Okay, and I am on every Thursday night from 6 Pacific time, 7 Mountain time, and 8 Central time. Okay, my show can be heard on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and now on iHeartRadio as well. And that's if you subscribe to those services. If you want a direct link to those services, you can go to our CWR homepage at the website cwrtalknetwork.com and click on the logo for that service. If at any time you experience a trigger, I'm very concerned about that. By this topic, please call the national hotline 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. And so this should be actually a pretty safe show. We are going to be talking about domestic violence, but if at any time that you feel a trigger, please call that number. Okay, we're going to go to a public service announcement. Be right back.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Making a Difference About Domestic Violence and Abuse with your host, Shireen Rice, on the CWR Talk Network.
Welcome back. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest tonight. He is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I did say his name was Kevin Smith on my intro, and I am so sorry. It is Kevin Jones. And I don't know if you ever saw the show Alias Smith and Jones. That's probably where I get it. I don't know. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about him. He graduated from SEU with degrees in psychology and political science. He dropped out of law school to pursue his music career, moved to California, ended up walking into a business opportunity that sidetracked his musical aspirations. But in 6 years, he worked his way up to vice president of a very successful international corporation that specialized in health and fitness products. After the demise of his first marriage, he sold his shares of the business and decided to leave the stress and traffic of Southern California behind and move back to Southern Utah. Okay, we all know about that traffic in Southern California. Okay. Once settled, he accepted the job as editor of The Independent. That is a newspaper here in St. George. So Utah's arts and entertainment publication. And also wrote a humor column for the paper under the pseudonym The Bone Man. He also had a book published that is a compilation of his most popular columns. After about 12 years as editor, he left the paper to, at long last, focus his energies on pursuing music. He plays all the instruments And because of the plethora of musical Kevin Jones in the world, he calls his one-man band Lazy Susan. He has released one album and has another one about finished, all of which you can find on the website lazysusanmusic.com. Susan with a Z. You can find the video we'll be discussing, as well as eight others on the site, and it is the only place that he offers his music for sale. Passions aside from music, he has just written a 10-episode script called The Fold that is being shopped to the streaming services. He also enjoys bodybuilding and keeping himself fit and healthy. His plan is to be the first man to not die. I can't wait for that. So far, so good. Welcome, Kevin. This is great. Okay, so I love your bio. You're absolutely amazing. Okay, so why don't we just start actually with part of your bio? So bodybuilding, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a typical thing, I guess, for a musician to be into. But it was the business that I sort of fell into when I was in California. And, it was a really popular time for the sport. You know, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the most, the most famous person in the world at the time. And, you know, it was just a, it was just money to be made. And so I got together with some friends that I played football with in college, and we put together this business, and it developed into, really quite a concern. And it's still going now. It's a, international company. It's got retail stores all over the world, and it's still going strong. I'm no longer a part of it, but still really a fan of it.
Wow,
but,
that's great.
Bodybuilding, it's not like I'm a freakish looking fellow. I just like to stay fit, and health is so important to your happiness. And I just do it because I enjoy it. It's a good way to work off anxiety, and I recommend it to anyone.
It's true. And I saw you at the film festival, and I can attest to the fact that you are not a freakish looking fellow.
I thought you were gonna say that I was smoking hot, but whatever.
let me definitely say he is smoking hot. Okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'd add that. Definitely I would. So I'm definitely on a diet, so maybe you can work with me.
Hey, I'm good like that.
I know. Okay, so let's talk about go ahead.
May I just real quick throw this out there. I had dental work done today, and I'm still numb. I was pretty sure it would wear off by now. But so if you hear, if I sound like a kid from Stranger Things with no teeth, that's what's going on.
Okay.
So anyway. Yeah, and I'm going to probably reiterate that about four times in case people tune in later on.
That happens all the time. So, if you're slurring your words, we know you're not intoxicated for sure.
Right.
I don't know about you, but, man, that stuff really does a number on me, and I can't talk for several days. I sound really bad.
I will do my best.
You're doing great right now. I'm telling you, you're doing absolutely great. But I know when you can feel that and you're like, I hope I sound okay.
Yeah. I'm getting some strange feedback from my tongue.
Okay, so my first question is, let's talk about your music called Blood on the Blanket, right? Is that that's the name of the music as well as the video, right?
Well, that's the song that brought me to your attention, I'm sure.
Right, it was, absolutely.
You were here in town for the film festival, and we made a video for the song. It was a song that I had resisted making a video for quite a while because the song itself tells a pretty vivid story, and I think you really see it in your mind as you listen to the song. And so I quite a few people really liked the song and approached me to do it. But I, quite honestly, a couple of factors came together that made me want to do it. One was that I met this actress named Jessica Staples, who, is just embodies this character in the story so incredibly well. I mean, it's really worth, making the effort to go see it just to see what she does in it. And also, I'm a bit concerned about, the fact that we're, women's rights are starting to, confronted again, with the abortion issue in Alabama and so forth. And so I thought, well, this is, if I'm ever going to do this, I'll do it now. And it's been good. It's been well received. Just on Facebook alone, it's almost up to 90,000 views. And so I'm pleased with that. And I was really happy with how the video came out. My partner, Rebecca, who you had on your program, directed it and did a fantastic job with that. And
she did.
She's become a great asset to everything that I do, and we've been best friends.
I know. That's
shout out to her.
Yeah.
Shout out to her. She's listening.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, she was absolutely amazing last week. I loved talking to her. She shared so many great things. It was absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, shout out to her 10 times over for sure. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And so let's share some background. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I won't be able to share any stories like that that she did, that would... It would definitely interest your listeners who, who are listening in for, for advice and for, moral support and so forth. But I hope I can bring something to the table that's meaningful in some way to some of y'all out there.
Oh, you absolutely will. And that video is absolutely amazing. It's about a domestic violence situation, just in case no one heard it. If someone didn't hear my show last week, it was about a woman in a domestic situation who got out but killed her abuser, which is really all it is self-defense, but she ended up going to jail, which does happen from time to time, and I really hate to see that.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly a feel-good song, to be sure. I've had a lot of people just say, dude, cheer up. happily, I didn't write the song about any situation or any particular people that I know of. I can real quick tell you how I got the inspiration for it. I was watching Netflix, as I want to do pretty much every night, and I love documentaries, and especially musical documentaries. And they had one on a woman named Kathleen Hanna, who started a really important female empowerment movement in the late 80s, early 90s. It was before the internet, and she had a band called Bikini Kill. And they started this movement called Riot Girl, and it just flourished. I mean, it literally went viral in an age before things going viral, just by word of mouth. And all these women would put together these handmade, homemade fanzines, and they just proliferated, and just, on the strength of the band being really good. And this thing, it was like one of the, I think one of the most important, women's rights and, female empowerment things that have, really happened since the suffragettes and, since Roe versus Wade. And, it's
right.
Really, if you're into women's rights and that sort of thing, I would you know, it's actually called The Punk Singer, is the name of the documentary, but it really focuses on, you know, the impact she had on women, particularly at that time. And so I was, you know, I watched that, and then I'd watched it. I watched another one on Nina Simone, who is, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's a classic, you know, female singer, black singer. And excuse me, she was such an interesting case. She grew up in the Jim Crow South, you know, in the 30s and 40s, and she was fortunate enough to, her mother cleaned a home that a woman had a piano, and she was able to play the piano, and it just turned out she was just a virtuoso piano player. And, you know, it got to be kind of the thing to where she would play around that area, but then she went to New York and eventually, you know, had her own band. And she did this hybrid of music that was just out of this world, maybe the most interesting hybrid. She would take jazz music and then interject classical into it just seamlessly. And it just totally blew my mind. But what happened with her is she met this gentleman, I'll say for now, who ended up marrying her and who became her manager, and then who proceeded to, you know, control her and just beat her, you know, brutally and savagely, to the point to where she could, you know, she could barely even play sometimes. And anyway, she finally got away from him and became a really one of the most outspoken spokespersons of the, you know, civil rights movements in the 60s. Anyway, so I'd watch these two things, and I was all fired up about, you know, women's rights, which is, you know, something everybody should be fired up about, I believe. You know, I mean, it's really, it's startling when you think about how, you know, close we are to the dark ages as far as women's rights go. I mean, it's only been like 100 years since, you know, the right to vote came. And you think about that, and that's just like, holy crap, you know? I mean,
yeah. You
know, women didn't have the right to vote 100 years ago, you know?
Right.
I mean, and so, you know, so that encourages me that we're, you know, moving further along into a more enlightened time. And I'm hoping that information and that momentum will, you know, carry over into, you know, making inroads into this, you know, horrible statistics that I'm reading about domestic violence. You know, I did some research, obviously, before, you know, when you invited me to come on. And, you know, the numbers, you quoted 1 in 4 with women, and I spoke to a friend of mine who works at a female shelter here in town, and she claims it's 1 in 3. And, you know,
oh,
I suppose
that is,
you know,
correct.
That,
it is 1 in 3.
And she also wanted me to, you know, to stress or emphasize the point that it's also 1 in 5 with men. So, you know, it's not like we're, you know, the sole offenders, but in any case, you know, those numbers are shameful and ridiculous. And it means that each one of us have probably got 2, 3, 4 good friends that are going through this right now, you know, that are living in some sort of hell right now. And we don't know about it, right?
Right.
Because of fear, you know, people, you know, don't want people to know about it. And so, you know, I'll get rolling on that later, because I'm pretty passionate about, what we need to do to improve it. You know, I mean, we'll never abolish it, obviously, but it just seems like we could improve it drastically. You know, I have a few ideas along those lines that I'm sure you guys have talked into the ground, but I'm going to go over them anyway because it interests me a great deal. But
yeah,
in any case,
I
was going to finish this the story about the song.
Ahead.
So that night, after I turned off the TV and I was just sitting there with all this stuff about women's rights in my mind, and I started writing this story in my head. You know, generally I write on a guitar or a piano, and you know, I think it's probably the only song I've ever written where I just had the words completely finished and the whole thing fleshed out in my head before I even touched a guitar. But that night I had gone to the bathroom, it was pretty late, and I hadn't turned on any hall light, and I hit like an object that was in the hallway that wasn't ordinarily there, and I kind of barked my knee and it started to bleed a little bit. And my wife had just got this new comforter for our bed, and I thought, man, if I get blood on that blanket, she's going to kill me, right? And so that's how Blood on the Blanket was born, you know? It's really kind of an awkward, clunky name for a song.
Yeah, it's
but
great.
But it just happened to, you know, I mean, it's just interesting how these things coincide, to where you really have to believe that a lot of our life is sort of predetermined and you know, to some extent, because there's just so many things that, you know, have to connect in certain ways in order for us to end up where we are. And I believe that we're all sort of meant to be where we are. And even if those are circumstances or if you're in an abusive situation, you know, I think, you know, that's going to be part of your victory, is the fact that you had to go through that in order to come out of it stronger and maybe able to help other people or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm a big believer in that sort of thing. And, you know, that's where my psychology major comes in handy. I didn't use that much after college.
Well, yeah.
Anyway,
it's still a good degree. I just wanted to share a few stats since you brought that up. I think that's a good place to start. It's 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men experience some form of physical violence, like slapping, shoving, pushing, that type of thing. 1 in 7 women, 1 in 25 men have been injured by an intimate partner. And 1 in 10 women have been raped by an intimate partner. And there's no data on male victims.
Yeah, and that's shameful. And obviously, you know, the 1 in 3 is where we come into the gray area of psychological and emotional abuse, and and that's just every bit as bad. To be honest with you, since I released the video, you know, and it goes around to on Facebook, it gets quite a lot of, you know, eyeballs on it. You know, I'm really quite pleased with how big of an audience I'm able to gain just on Facebook. It's really kind of remarkable. But several, I had three different women who were classmates of mine who PM'd me, you know, privately and told me that they were, you know, that they, that the song had, you know, meant so much to them because they either were currently going through something like that or had gone through something like that. And, you know, I guess they just felt inspired to tell me about it. And, you know, I spoke to one of them at length about it. And you just, you know, you just never know these things. And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest places where we could make inroads and try to get these statistics down to where they make some sort of sense.
Well, we have to go ahead.
I was going to say is, you know, I think the biggest thing is people's, you know, perception of that sort of situation being either a failure or something to be ashamed of. Like maybe, you know, my mom told me that this guy was no good, but I married him anyway, and so I'm going to stick it out, right? All that sort of, can I say bullshit on this show?
Yeah, you
okay,
can say
that's
that.
Bullshit. and so, And I think that's, you know, maybe where, you know, from a individual standpoint, where we can all maybe help and do some good, is to try to be a little bit more intuitive and be able to discern if someone is not acting quite right, or if they're, you know, if they seem to be unhappy, you know. I mean, these, you know, you don't have to see a bruise on someone's neck. You know, sometimes it's like maybe a bruise on their, you know, on their spirit. And if, you know, we need to be, you need to be able to just say, hey, are you all right? You know, and then if they're evasive, maybe let it go, but, you know, stick with it, because I think that's like such a big obstacle for change, is, you know, is this crazy idea that it has to be secret and it has to remain in the shadows, and, you know, and that it's something to be ashamed of. And that's just ridiculous. It's just patently absurd to think that way. But, you know, I mean, you can understand how people do think that way. And,
right.
You know, where I'm from, the predominant religion here is Mormonism. And so there's even, a greater taboo about with marriage, because it's a lot of these marriages, where this is going on, have been temple marriages where, you know, these people are supposed to remain together for eternity. And so that, you know, throws a whole other can of worms, into the mix. And I think that, I don't mean to throw the Mormon religion under the bus, because I actually am kind of a fan of it. You know, as religions go, it's actually a pretty good religion and very family oriented. But it, by the same token, it's still patriarchal, just straight patriarchal. And, you know, it's that whole thing that's created this problem, at least like a big part of the iceberg. Is this patriarchal nonsense about the man happened to be the man, and these, you know, these roles and these mores that we grow up with. And, I have a feeling that, say, the lighter shade of gray, where, you know, some guy's controlling his wife and, you know, maybe tries to keep her from doing the things that she loves or whatever. And that might be going on with almost unconsciously, you know, and I think maybe a little bit of education toward that sort of thing would probably help a lot of people, because I bet there are some men out there who are doing it who don't really quite realize it, you know, who are, you know, they're kind of on the borderline of being a douchebag, right? But that's how dad did it, and, you know, that's the way it is. And it absolutely is. And so you can learn not to do it, you know?
Right.
And,
I
think that's like a way to chip away at these statistics.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to share one thing. Psychological abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, that's what psychological abuse is, as you know. It's actually worse than all the other abuses, and it is the baseline for all abuses. The thing is no one can recognize psychological abuse. Number one, it's not usually done out in public. But number two, if it was, I had verbal abuse happen to me in front of 30 other DV advocates and for other nonprofits throughout this community, and not one stood up. You want to know why? Because they can't recognize.
They're scared.
Well, they're scared.
Yeah,
it was a cop that did it, and a narcissistic cop. And they're scared when it's a figure of that sort. But also, they don't recognize. It's very difficult to recognize verbal abuse. You know, when a man raises his voice, someone should be stepping in and saying, oh, no, you do not talk to her like that, you know, ever. When a man does anything that is more aggressive than than kind, that's when people need to stand up and step in. But a lot of times they're like, I hope she's okay with that. I had one person with my ex-husband say to me, and how long are you going to put up with that? He liked to criticize me in public. And she didn't say anything when he did it because they don't know where to step in.
And that's the thing.
She did say it privately. She said, how long are you going to put up with that stuff? And I'm like, oh, you know, I would always give him excuses, you know. And
But that's good, though. That's a start, you know. I mean, there's a start. You know, I mean, I think it's important that the people in those situations understand that other people recognize it and they're seeing it, right? And so, hey, you know, it's no secret here, all right?
Right.
So why don't
we
do something about it? You know, let's, you know, if it's counseling or, you know, whatever you need to do, but God, you know, don't go through life miserable because you picked the wrong guy. You know, that is just ridiculous, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, I know the situations, you know, the spectrum of people's situations are, you know, there's just, you know, no one particular case. I mean, you know, some people have kids, some people have pets. You know, there's there's so many factors and you know, there's not enough information out there about, you know, facilities where you can go to. And, you know, I spoke with the woman I told you about, a friend of mine, and, you know, I didn't know this, but, you know, I guess all, you know, shelters of this kind are publicly funded and rely heavily on grants. But they don't receive, you know, they don't receive any kind of fiscal help from the government at all.
Right.
You know, it just seems like, you know, start from the top, pour money on it. Because, you know, what happens with these shelters is they fill up and then, you know, people are expected to kind of like, okay, take stock of what's going on and then move on and make room for other people. So, you know, number one, we need to, you know, we need to expand that, right? And there needs to be three times as many beds, as much shelter. You know, I hate to use the word battered women's shelter. I mean, is there three more sad words in the world than that? God, it's like maybe Nazi death camp or something, but I hate that word. I hate that expression for it. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, I mean, I don't know what are they called now? What's the politically correct thing to call them?
Well, domestic violence shelters. But do you know how many beds they have in St. George?
I know it's certainly inadequate, but not, no, I don't know the number.
25.
Yeah, see, that's just, you know, I mean, that's so sad. It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, doing something like that, you know, I think for most people it's probably just a desperation, last resort thing. Right, when people come there, they're probably immediately in danger for them to be, you know, motivated to go that far,
right?
You know, because if you're, you know, and I think women should take stock of a man as soon as they meet him, you know, even before they're married, and certainly if things start changing when they're married, you know, you start seeing it going south, you know, irregardless of what kind of abuse it is, if you're being made unhappy by your partner and it's not getting any better, and you, even if you've spoken to him and, you know, he blew it off or whatever, then it's time to start making an exit strategy right then and there, you know?
Right.
Because, you
but
know, you're
that,
not going to,
that's
you
easier
know?
Said than done, as you know.
True enough. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Of course it is, but that's why I think it needs to happen. I think, you know, I think there needs to be some sort of, you know, and I know there's a lot more information out there on websites and so forth, and there's a lot of good counsel for women who are in these situations now compared to, you know, 50 years ago, where it would have just been, you know, you just took it. You would have just had to take it, you know, either that or, you know, I mean, obviously people have support systems with families and friends and, you know, those, you know, but it wasn't for that, you know, where would we be? But, my goodness. I think, you know, if there's anything we can do, is number one, we got to raise money, because there needs to be more money into this thing. You know, not only do we have to create more space, but we need to create, more opportunities and enrich these places so that, you know, so that people can be sent on their way equipped to,
right,
you know, to move on in a way where they're not afraid, you know, where it looks like a realistic option, you know.
Right.
Okay, you know, I'm done with this. I'm taking the dog and my daughter, and we're going down there, and we're gonna, you know, we're gonna make a plan, and then I'm out of here, you know.
And so, are you aware of the statistics?
I'm sorry.
Are you aware of the
statistics? No, I didn't say anything.
When someone wants to leave or after they left, the statistics are 73% of all deaths occur upon trying to leave or after they've left. When there's a DV death, 73% of those deaths are upon leaving or after they've left. So it's really a death sentence unless they have a really good plan.
Right. And here's what sucks about that is that the law now states that, you know, nobody can come in unless it's your, you know, friends or parents or something. It's unlawful for like a center, like the Dove Center here in town, to actually go pick you up or extract you from that danger. All they
right.
can do is send an Uber, right? And that's not even fair to the Uber guy, right? You know, I mean, you might be sending.
You're right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might be
not
sending him into some gunplay or something, for crying out loud.
Right.
So that's like another part of this deal that, you know, we need to figure out. Because
did
that,
you really hear
that
they send an Uber? I didn't know that they did that.
Yeah, that's what they're doing now. Is, you know, if women don't have a car of their own, but they need to get out, they send an Uber, you know? I mean, that's just not only unprofessional, but it's fucking dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
I don't know
why they would do that. Oh, yeah,
I'm hoping I'm not talking out of school, but yeah, that's what she says they do. And I'm like, you're kidding. And that's like, you know, you're endangering the Uber driver. And it's just like, you know, I mean, he might be mistaken for a lover. You know, this guy's probably all lathered up, and God knows what could happen in a situation like that. It's like, so that, God, that needs to be addressed, you know, I mean. And I guess it needs to be in some sort of legislation, you know, in order to change that rule, because that sucks. You know, that's bullshit.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a situation here that affects zillions of people, right? And we're worried about Trump's tweets. Screw that. We got all these people that we know in our lives and love, who are unhappy, who are miserable in relationships where they're being, you know, abused or downtrodden or dispirited, and any of that is not acceptable.
It's more than sad. It's they're dying inside, literally dying inside.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I mean, and if you find yourself in that position, you know, you've got a responsibility to yourself and your family and your children to get your ass out of it, you know? I mean, yeah, sure, give it the old college try. I'm all for, you know, I'm not a quitter when it comes to relationships. You know, I've got one divorce on my rap sheet, and, you know, I'll talk to you about that if you're interested, but So, you know, I'm not completely unfamiliar with, you know, what that sort of thing is about. But I, you know, it just seems like, you know, we need to somehow address this openly and, you know, make it a priority. You know, I mean, we're worried about, you know, we're worried about freaking Trump tweets, you know, and that's
right.
What you see on Facebook. And it's what you see all over Twitter. And it's like, man, who cares? You know, I mean, I grew up
right.
in an era where you didn't pay attention to the president, and you know, except for like maybe once a year if there was a war starting or there was an election, you know. You didn't care
right.
about the president. You know, we had Jimmy Carter. He was a great guy, right? You know, we had
right.
Ronald Reagan. Yeah, he was a little bit uptight, but, you know, it wasn't anybody that was, you know, I don't know. It just seems like people are so obsessed with that now that it's, you know, that they're putting other priorities behind it. And that's another thing that needs to change.
One of our biggest change that needs to happen is people need to become aware of what abuse looks like. It's not just hitting someone. If you thought that was it, you'll never see it, you know. And we need
right.
other people to step in and step up and stand up and say, hey, you know, that's not acceptable. You know, even if, like I said, a person raises their voice, a person starts to get angry, they need to be, you know, mellowed out and say, hey, you know what, this is not the place for that, and there isn't any place for that towards your spouse. And,
exactly.
you know, do you need to be
right.
separated tonight?
And I think it's, yeah, and it's a responsibility falls on us, because if that's your son, say, for example, who, you know, just belittled a woman in public and, you know, hurt her feelings, you know, like and embarrassed her, then that's, you know, it's your duty as a father to take that boy aside and say, dude, you are a
yeah.
horse's ass. And
yeah.
I hope that's not going on all the time, because if it is, you better come over and let's talk about this, you know, because that's, you know, that's, I didn't raise you to be like that. Same goes for, you know,
except for one thing, where did that boy learn it? It's a learned behavior. Where do you think he learned it?
Well, that's true. Nobody's excusing that. I'm saying it's, you know, it probably would work. Even the son to father would probably be a little bit more of a typical place for that to happen. You know, I mean, I've seen these things happen, and I've seen them happen in public. And I'll be honest with you, like one of the most intense situations I saw were my brother-in-law of mine, my wife's sister's husband, who was really verbally abusive, horribly abusive. But my God, everybody would go off on these rampages that were so insane that it scared you. I mean, it cowed you.
Wow.
To the point to where I would just be shaking, you know. I mean, everybody's looking at each other like, holy shit, you know. And I ordinarily I would have just stepped up and popped him in the nose, but I was afraid. I mean, I was literally afraid of him because
yeah.
of what I'd seen, you know.
And
everybody's just standing around in utter shock of what we just heard. And yet,
yeah.
you know, I mean, it was something that was just mentioned in passing later on. You know, I don't know. He's the guy I'm talking about has turned himself around a great deal. So, you know, I mean, there's certainly hope, and particularly on the, you know, person-to-person basis. And, you know, I mean, God, I don't know. There just has to be a way to where we can make inroads into this thing, because there's too many people out there wasting their lives being afraid, being depressed, being repressed, you know, having their outlets for joy taken away. You know, all that stuff is
yeah.
not acceptable in our society today. That's that should be an actionable offense. You know,
right.
to ruin someone's life, to take away their happiness. that should be a crime. And so, you know, I mean, I just think we need, you know, we need to be more alert to it. We need to be,
yeah.
We need
educated.
To be vigilant and we need to be more courageous. We've got to be more courageous. And everybody needs to be more courageous, you know, because the whole problem is fear. It's all about fear. You know, a woman, she's in a situation, she's scared. You know, it's like, well, it's fear of the unknown. Am I, you know, even if I left, how would I feed my kids? You know, how would I take care of a spot? You know, where am I going to go? Where am I going to end up? You know, that's what prevents people from doing it. So, you know, what needs to happen is we need to, you know, we need to make these places visible. We need to, we need to get the information out there that they are there and that they are a realistic option. You know, it's not just like a shot in the dark that you do if you're like, you know, at gunpoint. It's like, you know, plan it calmly, set aside money, right? Talk to your kids about it. Say, you know, daddy's, you know, and I are having some problems. And as you can see, it's getting worse, blah, blah, blah. You know, it might be that, you know, we might have to, you know, we might have to leave the situation. You know, I think a game plan is what needs to happen in order for it to make them successful and less dangerous, you know.
Right. And I think people have to prepare for safety.
Wait, you know, don't wait until the guy's, you know, foaming at the mouth and swinging his fists around. Wait till he's golfing and then do it, right? Then get the hell out of there.
Right.
And then, it's, you know, sayonara, you know, Sammy. And that's that, you know. That's that. I don't know. I get pretty worked up about stuff like this because I just hate to see unnecessary sadness in the world, you know. I mean, there's so much joy and there's so much, such a wonderful life.
So much to experience
And if that's being robbed from you by someone who's supposed to be your partner, you know, your teammate, then out you go. Out you go. I mean, that's just all there is to it. You're walking away from someone you love and that you have a connection with, and you have a huge history with, and you've got common friends, common relatives, children, whatever. If you are miserable and you know, every day you get up and you're like, oh my God, is it going to happen today? And for the love of God, you know, just make a plan and, you know, call your mom, call your dad. You know, if you don't have that sort of situation, you don't have the support like that, get a hold of the shelter, get some information. You know, obviously you have to do it a little bit on the fly, you know, maybe erase your search history on the computer or whatever. But, I just think it needs to be done in a sober, calm environment rather than, you know, oh my God, he's got the gun now, you know.
Right.
That's a big thing, I think, you know, is to, you know, make sure that when they do make their move, they do it at a smart and, you know, safe time.
Yeah, and an excellent part of your music video, Kevin, was something that I think is important to express is she killed him on the way out for actually her self-defense, the defense of her children, and yet law enforcement and judicial officials still want to encapsulate these women, take them away from their children after they've been beat up, struck down, you know, and the kids too. And this is one of our biggest problems. I actually serve a lot of women who have been arrested, falsely arrested, when they were the ones that were beat up. And law enforcement and judicial officials have a hard time recognizing who's the victim. The reason for that is because abusers are the best at playing a victim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's the game that they're good at, and that's why they're getting away with it, is because they've been practicing their whole damn life.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, it's just the good old boy system. It's like, oh, you know, you got a little hysterical over nothing, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just crap. And it's straight up crap, and it needs to end. And you know, and I'm talking to men out there. You know, if that's you know, if you take any pleasure whatsoever in making, you know, your wife unhappy, you know, then, you know, let her go. You know, man up.
They won't do that.
You're not a man.
Yeah, power and control is everything. Yeah.
But anyway,
I want you to talk about your newest song, though, before time is starting to fleet. But I want you to talk about your newest song.
Well, like I say, had I not had the dentistry, I might have taken a crack at this song. I didn't do this intentionally. I'm a full-time songwriter. I get up and I start. And sometimes there's just one there waiting for you. You know, I think your muse knows where to find you. And so this song is actually kind of the flip side of Blood on the Blanket, wherein it's still dealing with the problem. But it's from the woman's standpoint and empowering and emboldening them to do what I've been talking about and to, you know, to show some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't intend to do it, and it spilled out of my mouth as I'm playing some chords, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of nice. And man, next thing you know, I had it done, and you know, my daughter was like, "Whose song is that?" And I'm like, "I just wrote it." And she's always listening to me, and she knows where I'm at with every one of my songs, right? So I'm just coming out of the blue with this song, and you know, I've got it done. And she was just like, "You just wrote that song?" I'm like, "Yeah, it just like literally landed in my lap." And it's a good song. I mean, it's going to be the next one I record for sure. And like I say, it'll be a nice companion piece to the other. For those of you, if you don't know what we're talking about, I wrote a song called Blood on the Blanket that, you know, tells kind of a tragic story of a woman who's suffering from abuse, and you know, her husband starts doing it with the children as well, and so she shoots him, and you know, winds up in prison, and then commits suicide in prison. I mean, that's what the song's about. So it's not exactly like you know, put a lucky star in your pocket or whatever, but
Kevin, can I share something with you really quick? What you did is you hit something, a total nail on the head, and I don't know if you even recognize this. All victims of domestic violence have the ideation of suicide and homicide, all of them, because a lot of their thoughts are, how do I get out of this? Do I kill him? Do I kill me? What do? How do I get out of this situation?
Yeah,
and they don't know.
Absolutely.
And so,
I mean,
to them, they actually dance with the idea that it's an option.
Right, and that's where what I'm talking about is so important. It's like, okay, take that option off the table, because we got all these better options that we've helped people to enlighten people to know about. You know, I mean, I know it's a double-edged sword with advertising a shelter, because you know, you want to kind of keep it on the DL so you don't have a bunch of angry, you know, crazed, drunken fools showing up with 30-06s, you know, every other day. But by the same token, you know, there's just got to be a way to get the word out that there is a real, solid, viable, doable, realistic option other than the other shit. And so instead of thinking about, oh, am I going to kill myself? You know, what about my kids? Am I going to kill my husband? instead of that being the thing that you turn over and you over and over in your mind, have it being, okay, I'm gonna be smart. I'm gonna squirrel away some money. And, you know, when this bastard is, you know, off doing whatever he does, right? I'm going to load up and I'm out of here. And, you know, he ain't going to know where I am, you know. And
right.
That's what this new song is about. And, I was thinking a little bit about playing it because I think it's one of those songs that you just like, wow. Way to go, me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it I am.
When you record it, let me know, and I will definitely share it on all my sites.
I sure will. And I want to thank you very much for the support, you know, that you've given, and you guys sharing it like you have, you know, has really done a lot for how far and wide it's gotten out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those, I was trying to say, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, if you go to lazysusanmusic.com, and it's just like Lazy Susan, the little spinny cupboard thing, except for it's that Susan is spelled with a Z, so we don't get in legal trouble. And I don't know if can you even understand me? I still got Novocaine in my tongue.
No, yeah.
But anyway.
Z.
And right. So, and there, I all my music is on there, and, you know, I think you find something that you'll like on there, I should hope. In any case, I certainly urge you to go take a look at it. It will probably trigger some people, I'm sure. But at least you get the feeling that there are other people out there who get it and who are on your side and who care about you.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a great job. You shared some of the words, and it was amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'll wait until I get it all bundled up in a beautiful little bow, and then we'll do that. But then also if you go on my Facebook page, it's, you know, it's like pretty close to the top on my Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
Thank
you so much for sharing all of your music with us, sharing your ideas with us, and your recent writings with us. It was absolutely amazing. You're so inspired, Kevin, and I so appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you for having me on, first of all, and for turning me into Kevin Smith there temporarily. I checked my bank account. I know, the weight I would have to lose, I don't know if I would take the money and the fat, you know, it would have to be like a package deal, right? I don't know if I'd go for it, you know? Yeah, that'd be a lot of work.
Kevin. I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote that in there.
No, and we're aging ourselves by admitting that we know what Alias Smith and Jones is.
it was definitely my favorite when I was young.
I remember it well, and it was like 1971, you know. So.
Yep. Yep.
I must have only
heard that about that. I don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that seeped into the womb, you know, is I think how I got it.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you're amazing.
But even then, it makes me old.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. I don't. I'm only as old as I say that I am, and that changes daily.
Let me ask you real quick. I haven't been looking at the clock. Do we have any time left at all?
Just a few minutes, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, if you don't mind, and please shut me down if I'm out of line at all. But I was going to ask how you got involved with this.
Personal.
If there's a you know, like a capsulized version, I would really be interested.
Well,
but,
it's a long story, but I don't mind sharing with you. The long story privately, but publicly, I don't mind saying my last marriage, I was beat up pretty badly, and then I decided that wasn't going to happen to anybody else.
Good for you.
And believe
Good
me when I
you.
Say I did not see it coming, nor did I think it would ever happen. But I have the hospital documentation and pictures and everything else. And he still will never tell anyone. He'll tell everyone I was lying, despite the bruises everywhere. Two black eyes, a fractured nose, bruises on my back, on my arms where he held me down. And but there was a whole lot more than that. But it was unbelievable.
Man alive. The old she fell down the stairs that. Man, that's just crazy. That's awesome that you're doing this. How long have you been doing it?
On the radio, I've been just doing it a little over a year. I've also written a book. I've also blog for some groups. I also advocate, life coach, anything I can do to help someone, I will absolutely do it. And so this is, to me, just another method to educate people. And that's why I wanted
you
on and Rebecca on, because you have your own mediums to educate people. And we need those mediums out there. We need people to see them. We need them to say, oh, my gosh, that was such a horrible ending. But, you know, that's real. You know, this is not Hollywood. And we do not always have positive endings. And I've never seen a positive ending in a domestic violence situation. You know, and I'm sure there are some where the guy goes, oh, yeah, I just beat you to a pulp. I think I need help. That only happens in 4% of all relationships. Also, you probably know that I'm working on my PhD at the same time, and it's on the same subject.
No, good for you. Well, it's too bad. It's too bad there aren't thousands and thousands of you, because, you know, it's like, I can't claim to be any sort of authority on the thing, but, you know, I mean, you're mindful of it your whole life as you see it with your parents and, you know, so forth, and your own relationships. And so it's, you know, it's not something that's foreign to anybody. And, you know, I just think that it's so common, and with the statistics the way they are, it just seems to me like maybe we're close to being on the cusp of a bit of a revolution, to where, you know, this stuff gets, you know, put back, you know, in Pandora's box. You know, I would hope that. I mean, then again, you know, we might end up with the Handmaid's Tale. You know, who knows? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you never freaking know. But
right, right.
You know, with people losing ground on Roe versus Wade. You know, that's just scary to me. And I'm not even really, you know, I'm not like a liberal. You know, I'm sort of this middle of the road centrist or whatever, but. You know, that one's a no-brainer, I think, and to have it, you know, called back up and dragged through the mock, nobody knows the answer to it, so, you know, you just, it's the woman's choice. It's the woman's choice, period. Stop, you know, poking your nose where it doesn't belong.
Yeah, well, my...
That was really one of the reasons I decided to do the video, you know, because...
Yeah.
That is, yeah. I mean, stuff like this is sometimes the result of unwanted pregnancies.
Yeah, well, and you know, sometimes, like in my case, I never saw domestic violence before in my family. I never saw it, and I didn't know how long I had been abused. I didn't know anything about abuse. But I will tell you this: it wasn't until about 20 years ago, maybe 30 at the very most, that it actually started being recognized slightly. I mean, though in the 70s right. was the first time we started to have domestic violence shelters, people were very much against them at that time. They thought they were marriage yeah. wreckers and that type of thing because they didn't understand
right.
the whole concept. Yeah. But they still today,
the institution of marriage.
Yeah, 50 years later,
yeah.
they still don't have a clue of what it's all about, and they still want to stay away from it, and it's still getting worse. In this state, I don't think you know this, but 30% of all deaths occur. All homicides in this state, 30% of them are domestic violence related.
Not at all surprised. Not at all surprised. And, you know, I mean, everybody kind of looks at Utah as being, you know, these straight-laced people who don't drink and go to bed at a reasonable hour and all that. And, yeah, it's just, you know, people are the same everywhere. And they got, you know, I mean, I think we have one of the worst drug problems in the country, you know, here in the state, too. So, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not sure of those stats, but.
Nobody is safe from it, and so we, but nobody should be ashamed of it, and so let's do
right.
something about it, you know. Everybody
right.
out there, you know, ask somebody if you think something's going on. Ask somebody,
well,
at least go there.
One of our biggest problems, and this community's one of them that does this, is they sweep it under the carpet and step on it a few times in hopes that it flattens out so no one will see it. And they, if you don't see
yep.
it, then it doesn't happen. And that's
yeah.
the problem.
It is. It's a horrible problem. And you know, and it's, you know, bottom line, it's up to each woman to make a move, you know. But it's also up to us to find them and encourage them and say, hey, come on, life shouldn't be like this, you know. I mean, and you know, there, I hope that didn't sound like I was doing any shaming and all that.
No,
you know, I guess I'm not quite as considerate about that as I should be, I think sometimes. But I just think, God, we need to bring it out of the shadows to some extent, somehow. And if everybody does something, then something will happen. You know?
And
so
what
everybody
we need to recognize is that these people that perpetrate domestic violence, psychologically, physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever way they do it, are the ones that have the problem. They're the ill ones. They're the unhealthy ones.
Oh,
they're
absolutely.
The ones that need the help. And yet we actually, you know, honor them and admire them, and that's our problem, is we need to start
yeah,
shunning
and
them.
That's a, you know, that's something that is going to be super slow to change, because, you know, I mean, that has evolved over centuries and centuries of you know, the patriarchal system. You know, the husband is the head of the household, and what he says goes, and the wife is barefoot and pregnant. All that nonsense, you know. I mean, we've got beyond that, I should hope, you know. And
yeah.
and we've come a long way, but you know, unless we start improving those numbers, then we really haven't gotten anywhere, regardless
right.
how far we've come.
Right.
You know? So that's
right.
what I have to say. So you know, go out there and do something. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I did something. And it's, you know, I perfectly in my comfort zone to write a song and make a music video.
Yeah. And you're still doing lots of other things, which is great.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it was a pleasure to be on. And, you know, I my hat's off to you. And am I wrapping up here? Am I like, are we still got
yeah.
2 minutes left?
Yeah, we're close to the end there. So, yeah, I so appreciate you coming on my show and talking about your video and talking about domestic violence and your thoughts and concerns on that. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Well, that's what people tune in to hear about, I think. And I obviously, you probably don't hear as many men's voices on the show as you do women's. And so, yeah,
right.
I just wanted to, you know, chime in as a, you know, the opposite gender, and you know, we got your back. you know.
Right, and you know what? You're wonderful. And we need more men just like you. I'll be honest, it's straight up. We need more men just like you.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say. And I'm going to try to live up to that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for all that you do. And I'm going to let you go for right now, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll talk to you in a little bit, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you so much, sweetie. Have a good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just want to thank Kevin Jones. Like I said, I accidentally put Smith down there. I don't know what I was thinking. Kevin Jones for joining me tonight and sharing his love for helping women who experience DV. I loved hearing his thoughts. I loved hearing what he had to say. His music is absolutely inspirational. And I want to tell you his site again, so please go to it, lazysusanmusic.com, and that's S-U-Z as in zebra, A-N. The Susan part is the Z, Z-A-N. Okay, so lazysusanmusic.com, and listen to Blood on the Blanket plus other of his tunes. He has numerous tunes on there. And so I'm so grateful that he joined us tonight. I did want a male perspective, and I'm hoping to have a male perspective next week also. But the male perspective that I'm planning on having next week is a father of a daughter who was badly abused. I want, again, that male perspective of a father. And that's going to be very difficult, probably on him. I don't know. So he may cancel, but I'm not sure. If he does, it's understandable, and I'll just put him on for another time if he can do that. I want to wish everyone a great night. God bless you all. Please pass this on for others to hear, and please stay safe and have a good night.